welcome back, guys. Another week of Autastic, your comedian's guide to autism. I'm your host. My name is Kirk Smith, and my co-host...
Graham K.
Boom!
Another sode, guys. We're cranking them out again. You're in town for more than 5 minutes.
I leave in less than 24 hours.
Do you really?
Yeah.
That's so funny. Look, we're gonna let you behind the curtain, folks. A little showbiz behind the curtain, inside baseball. These aren't live. These podcasts?
Definitely not.
They are not live. You're not listening to them through a radio right now. And so we don't always record, like release them right after we record them, basically. Sometimes we record 2 days in a row and then wait a week or wait 2 weeks because we're always on the road and then release it then. Which is why I'm here to tell you about the moon landing. it happened. So basically, we recorded yesterday and Kirk came to drop off my car key because I'm a really good guy and let him my car.
He did let me borrow his car.
Yeah. And so he's back here and you're leaving again.
I'm getting out of here one more time. Back on the road. I do miss New York. It's 45 degrees.
What do you think you would do with yourself if you weren't... Like, could you mentally handle relaxing? Like, being in your apartment for 2 months straight.
Getting caught up on all my TV shows.
See? You don't even know what to do. You would have no idea what to do. You're always like, I'm exhausted. I travel too much.
And then I take
but
too
I
much work.
Don't think you would know what to do.
Yeah, that's the thing, right? That's
were you always of. Like this? You must have been like when you had...
Kind of like to push a little bit. Although the funny thing is I'm getting cleaner in my old age. Like I've always been clean, but messy. I was always messy, but I feel like it's getting better. I'm picking up stuff. I like when I get back from the road that my apartment is clean. So I have to clean it the day before I leave, which
sounds
insane.
But you live with your parents and you got married early. And for that, 3 years where you were in
college,
and every young man is a pig.
It was three of my best friends, and it was shooting BB guns indoors and making Molotov cocktails. And stop reminding me of that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
We figured out how to make Molotov cocktails and used to throw them out the window. It's true.
Oh, my God. That's that's a crime.
Not at the time. It was the 90s. It was a different time.
Yeah, 2024, that is active terrorism.
We weren't throwing them at people. We just wanted to see how it worked.
I know. I get it. I think it's cool. I think it's cool. But so your whole life, basically, other than college, you had someone... taking care of that
someone
stuff.
Someone to love me.
Yes, yes. Now that's long gone. But
long gone.
No,
long
I'm
gone.
Kidding. You got a
that's fine.
Two beautiful children. But anyway, now you've had enough runway where you're on your own, and you've realized, like when I first moved out on my own without roommates. I remember looking at my kitchen sink going, I guess the dishes were always mine.
Yeah.
What the hell?
That's a real revelation. Yeah. Like you blame everything on your kids, and then I get them, it's me.
It's me, yeah.
The calls come from the inside of the house.
That's right. And then
it's me. That's my dirty clothes on the floor. Yeah. That's my dishes over there.
Yeah. I've been single half of my adult life, and I've probably only lived with a partner for 6 years of my adult life. I'm so clean. I know I can preemptively, and also I think taking care of my brother a lot has put me on high alert growing up. I think I was always predisposed to being looking out for it more. I was always the cleanest roommate. I was always like, watching someone about to make a like do something gross, and I was like, you know what I mean? I'm like the perfect roommate to have if you're a slob because I'll just internalize it and make my own little space clean and not complain because I'm used to borderline chaos and constantly
but
cleaning
Pete
up after
clean
chaos.
Now, right?
Pete is very clean now, but there was a time growing up where Peter chewed off the heads of all my toys. Peter would... go to the bathroom,
and not the toilet.
When he was like way older than normal. He wasn't like 13 or anything. Like, wasn't like JJ, you dealing with that. Yeah. But it definitely, when I was 13, I had to deal with someone who's 10 who'd like make messes and stuff. Yeah. And, you know, just bring home a frog, bring home dirt, bring, you know, and like, anyway, and I'd clean it up. And
JJ's got this funny thing now, not funny thing, but this, this trait where he really likes his bed to be made at all times. He wants it to be
cool
sheets and blankets. And he'll often pull you in there or pull the aide in there and point at the bed, like, make that bed. And then if you don't do it right, or doesn't like, he points again, it's not done.
Ah, that's
shakes his head. No,
that's great though. Isn't
also,
it?
Yeah. But also do it yourself. You have two arms. And so now he's starting to do it himself. And he'll, if you don't do it the way he likes it, he'll do it.
That's fantastic.
Which is the better part. Yeah, do it yourself. You know, you're not that busy watching your videos.
But isn't that two cool things are happening? The main one for me is that he realizes mentally, cognitively, that it's like nicer when it's clean.
Once it clean, once the bed made.
Yeah, he's learning that it's like, it's better.
But the funny thing is, he doesn't want to sleep underneath the covers. He wants to sleep on top of the bed, arms crossed, even if it's kind of chilly, on top of the covers, going to the covers. No, make the bed. So the bed has to be made, and then he's on top, and then there'll be an additional cover that can be brought out of a closet if it's a little chilly. So he'll sleep on top of the top.
Interesting.
But underneath there's two sheets.
Usually people...
And a blanket, and then he's there, and then another blanket.
Maybe it just makes it extra soft. Usually people with autism like being hugged.
Yeah, we tried the weighted blanket. He liked it for a while, and then he was over it. Yeah,
interesting.
Remember that hug machine we covered?
Yes, absolutely. I was going to bring that up, but I always forget Temple Grandin's name.
Hey, you remember this time.
I'm unbelievable, but I couldn't make the reference 30 seconds ago because I didn't have it. My brain had to look through its Rolodex and bring it to the, they have like a runner to bring it to the front of my brain. I got it! Just holding up the piece of paper.
Where were you 30 seconds ago?
Put it to the mouth. It's like, man, I could have used you 30 seconds ago.
He likes it made. He likes his, he's getting to the point where he likes it picked up. It's very interesting. Yeah.
Likes what picked up?
So the way his apartment is set up, it's got it's a big room, and there's different parts, like, but they're not divided by walls. So there's a part that's like a living room, quote unquote living room. That's where I stay. And then there's like a little bedroom part.
Mm-hmm.
So in the little bedroom part, he doesn't want anything out. Everything's away. And then all his little toys are stacked on top of his like dressers. And so he's got like the Legos. He doesn't like to play with them. He likes them made, assembled, and in position.
Yeah.
If you move them, he moves them back. He likes them. No. He likes like this. He wants Spider-Man. We have a Spider-Man car or something. He wants it facing a certain direction. There's a garbage truck that he likes facing a certain direction. And
he wants it like a little OCD,
a little bit of order in his life. Yeah,
and I like that. How does that make you feel? Was he always like that?
No, it's good. It's good. And then one of his routines is he needs to do his own laundry. And so he begrudgingly grabs his thing. He takes it, and then he can kind of do his own laundry. He can, he can put it in the washing machine. He can put the soap in the right amount. He can close the door, he can turn it on, and he can start it. Now, if the settings on the washing machine ever changed, he's not going to.
Sure.
And it's European, so there's no.
Permapress.
There's no words. It's all like numbers and little pictures. And isn't it interesting? Like the Europeans, you notice that they do that? Because, like, they make it for Hungary and Finland.
Oh,
and
interesting.
Nobody speaks the same
language.
I
never noticed that.
Sweden.
I haven't done laundry in Europe ever, maybe. Well, no, I lived there for a year.
Yeah. She had a girlfriend.
I never looked at my. No, but I just have to do my own stuff. But I never really. I was also like in my early 20s, so I was like,
you just smelling stuff. That smells fine.
Yeah, just throwing the water makes it wet. You're not looking at anything, pushing buttons.
Yeah,
pretty much on the JJ level.
That's
back
where he's
then.
At. That's what he's doing. Yeah. So, and then he has a hard time with folding, but then he'll put it. He'll take them out, put them in the dryer. Yeah, baby steps. Yeah, I'm going there. What day is it? It's the 20th. So I'm going there in less than 2 weeks. So, I shouldn't have said the date, probably. Should I have?
Why?
A little behind the scenes. We're not going to post this the 20th. But, he's doing good, I think.
Yeah.
What's going on with Peter?
Peter's doing really well. He's really excited because tomorrow is his big follow-up appointment.
Ooh, foot stuff.
Foot stuff. His phone, his foot, all of the wounds are healed. I explained last week that he had to do an extra month of walking with crutches and the knee scooter because he couldn't understand how to use the cane, how to distribute his weight on the cane. So the doctor wanted him to do an extra month, and the month is over. He's got a big follow-up tomorrow, getting x-rays to see if the bone has healed, if the pins have been accepted by the bones. Every once in a while, I ask Pete to show me on his phone what his feet look like, and the swelling looks like it's gone down a lot. He's moving it pretty confidently, like the ankle. That's what broke. And it does look... he's got wild scars all over it.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
It's like purple?
A lot of purple scars. Like a zipper kind of scar. And then,
oh, wow.
And then, like, looks like little bullet holes, like, on the front and on the other side. And, like... where they went in.
Now, what is his thought process about this? Is it like scare him, or is he like, I mean,
No. Okay. He did not like initially that there was metal inside of him. He thought they were going to take the metal out.
Yes, I remember this conversation. And I thought so too, honestly.
Really? Pins?
I don't know how that works. I thought for some reason they pull it out and it heals. But I don't know anything. I don't have any pins.
You're thinking of a brace.
I guess. Honestly, yeah. I don't know.
Yeah. No, they leave it in. They leave it in. Cause the bone's like shattered.
Okay, so it fuses to it or something?
Yeah. Yeah. Kyrie Irving has one in his ankle.
Okay.
So Peter, like Kyrie Irving,
like superheroes.
Yeah. So Kyrie Irving's a basketball player. Anyway, you have to explain everything to Excuse Kirk me. In basketball terms.
Yeah. I speak basketballese.
Yeah.
Everything else is confusing.
Anyway, Peter was talking to give you an example of what it looks like. Peter was talking to a very funny comedian, Greg Stone, who Greg Stone sometimes gives him Spider-Man toys and has been looped into the email chain.
You 150 people.
Greg Stone was like, oh yeah, he got surgery. What happened to him? Did his foot get stuck in a blender? Cause it like, there's looks like scars. Crazy. But Peter is not self-conscious about it. He's a tough kid. He's honestly a really tough guy, and mentally and physically. And he so he's very excited. Tomorrow he's gonna go in. Also, he's been. I guess there's a neighbor. She's like a elderly woman in his apartment building. She's a tremendous person. Peter's injury has really brought out. It just shows you how many tremendous people. There are in the world and live in Ottawa. Ottawa is just full of really nice people. And she has, goes grocery shopping for him or checks in every now and again. And she, I guess, I talked to Peter today and he was like, yeah, she got groceries for me.
Oh, sweet.
Mom says I shouldn't keep asking her because I keep going with, and should I give her a break because I can go with my helper, like the other guys. Yeah. The other guy, his like assigned helper, who comes. That's like paid by the government or whatever.
Yeah.
And he also likes that I did some more digging, and I was like, "Did you give her money?" And he goes, "No." And I was like, "Let's count all the stuff that she bought." And he's like, "I go show me the list." And he goes, "Well, I threw it out." And I go, tell me everything that she bought. You have a good memory. Tell me. And it was like 16 items plus stuff he didn't tell me. So it was like a full grocery shopping, you know. And this retired elderly woman should not be paying for this. So I did a rough estimate of like $65.
Probably at least. I don't know.
Yeah. Things are cheaper in Canada.
Yeah, well, the $3 items. But anyway, okay, God.
Yeah. Anyway, it's probably 75, and Peter had like 100, and it was like, just.
Yeah.
And so I was like 65, you know, yeah. I don't know. A lot of it was like one tomato.
Oh, okay, got it.
Some stuff like that. And anyway, so we like, I put them in an, I put in an envelope. I was like, okay, drop it off or like give it to her. And then he texts me and goes, I left it at her door. And I goes, you can't leave money at the door.
Yeah, you can't leave cash.
So now he texts me back. He's like, I got it. I took it back. And I was like, well, you just have to give it to her somehow. And I'm going to leave that up to him.
Yeah.
To see how he facilitates that.
That's a good errand.
Yeah. It gave him something to do today.
Yeah, that's a good errand.
Which was really exciting for him.
Yeah, I like that.
You know.
That's really sweet of that lady. Yeah, it's surprising sometimes how people surprise us with their kindness.
Yeah. My buddy that I grew up with took him out for lunch or came over a week ago and they played video games and Peter destroyed him at Ninja Turtles.
Peter might be one of the last few people on the earth that remembers how to play that game that came out 20 years ago.
Crushes it.
He's got 20 years of experience.
Yeah. Should we read an article?
Let's do this. We don't read a lot in the Post, but this jumped out at me because it reminds New York Post, sorry. Reminds of something we went through.
Kirk is a coastal elite, so he thinks everyone lives in New York. So he thinks everyone understands when you say the Post.
That's a good point. Is there another Post? The Washington Post, I guess. Yeah.
I'm sure there's a Post in Chattanooga somewhere.
Nah, no, I'm just playing. Mm-hmm. New York Post, baby. My daughter eats plaster, foam, wool. What we've learned about her condition. A Welsh mom of two says she has to constantly monitor her three-year-old daughter to stop her from munching on potential dangerous items around the house. Winter, spelled with a Y, was diagnosed with autism and an unusual condition that sparks a craving for inedible objects. She's literally eating the whole house, says Stacy Ahern, 25, lamented to SWNA. I bought a brand new sofa and she's taking chunks out of it. Ahern says she's caught Winter eating plaster off the walls, foam off the sofa, wool from her toys. Wool from her toys. There's wool toys, huh? Man, sounds very Welsh.
Well,
there's
stuffing inside, maybe?
Maybe. Plants and candle wax. Most terrifying, she watched her preschooler smash a photo frame and attempt to eat these shards of glass.
Oh,
boy. That's where you draw the line. Ahern said she would put Winter in a high chair with snacks, and she'd choose to eat the chair. And then there's a picture of this kid, the absolute cutest little kid
Very
ever.
Cute kid.
So cute. Just smiling, really big.
Little princess.
Little blonde, little goofy smile from Welsh. She's probably a lot of short little people in Wales. Anyway, she's really fussy with normal food, but she'll sit and eat a sponge, said Ahern from Blackwood, Wales. She's smashing through 8 photo frames and tried to eat the glass. No matter what, she finds a way to eat things she shouldn't. Ahern noticed her Winter putting things in her mouth as a baby and didn't think it was anything serious. She was usually hitting the milestones like talking and walking until 13 months, and then things changed overnight. She became nonverbal, and her usual eating habits began to escalate. So a year and a half, that's about when JJ became nonverbal too. So that always jumps out at me.
Was he verbal before that?
Kind of.
Hmm.
Kind of like baby verbal where they're like just gibberish and like,
yeah,
you think you hear some things and
right.
Yeah. Ahern said her daughter was diagnosed with the eating disorder, PICA, which is said to be found in 18% of children. One study determined that the most prevalent at 3 years old and becomes less common as children age. And then there's a picture of a foam couch that she's eating big chunks of.
It's a lot of chunks.
A lot of fiber in that kid's diet. In January, after further tests, Winter was diagnosed with autism. PICA can become more common with children with autism, which Winter has too, Ahern explained. I think it's a sensory thing, and she craves different textures. Mm. And she has severe autism, which means she doesn't speak much and has some behavioral issues. Ahern is also the mother of a one-year-old, Everly, and said Winter often awakes at night, and that's when her PICA really comes out to play. She wakes up at 2 a.m., and I found her eating the cot or the blankets. And it's exhausting to have eyes on her 24/7.
It's funny. Sleep issues with people with autism is so funny. It's not funny, but it's interesting that it's prevalent so young.
Look at this cute picture of this little kid and the little tiny baby looking confused. So cute. Yeah. She's like, don't take a bite of me.
Mm-hmm.
Ahern found that providing sensory playtime.
Both of those children look exactly like dolls.
Yeah, the cutest.
Yeah.
So cute. Right, sensory playtimes that has helped distract Winter from her PICA cravings. How long is this? Not that long. Okay, we'll read a little bit more.
It's the post, so if you can't read a post article.
Fair enough. Chilled of thoughts isn't like sensory things they can touch or sounds. But the post sometimes I feel like has a paragraph of story and they try to make six paragraphs out of it. They keep repeating it in different, they make the sentence a different order.
It's like, yeah, it's like sports radio.
Yeah, she said the child's hungry. The child, she said, is hungry.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, you just said that. Yeah. I get that. You're trying to fill 3 hours. I've got a chewable necklace for her, specifically designed for people with pica that she can chew on with different textures. And Ahern said that Winter also likes to eat, touch, and play with different shaped pasta. As longtime listeners, this is Kirk here speaking, know my book is called Rice Krispies with Ketchup. It's named after one of JJ's things that he used to like a lot. And we paused that he likes the texture. He always likes the crunchy of Rice Krispies, the crunchy little hard texture.
Yeah.
And then he likes the
chewy and then the sweet.
Sweet, tangy, vinegar, sugar mix of ketchup.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Ooh, you kind of just sold it to me.
And that doesn't sound bad now, right? Yeah, like, yeah. Oh, now I get it. Yeah. It's like chunky French fries. Anyway. The doctor says not much that can be done. It's not good for it. It's extremely dangerous, but it's not extremely dangerous as long as it's not glass. Alana's hoping that Winter will eventually grow out of the condition. Adults with pica, which have become found in 10% of the people with mental health conditions. And then there's another picture of the kid with the mom who also looks like a doll.
Yeah, makes sense.
For her part, Ahern is raising both her daughters with her partner and their dad, Ryan, who doesn't live with them. Lucky she never hurt herself, and I very closely monitor. It just made me think of, that's the end of the article. It just made me think of my son who went through a very scary stage where he was putting holes in walls and then pulling out the drywall and eating it.
Yeah.
Which was, I don't know exactly what's in drywall, but
I'm sure it's not.
It's not fit for
consumption. I don't know if that doctor would approve of that.
No. I think wool might be healthier.
Yeah.
Than drywall insulation properties.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I think part of his thing was he loves to eat, right? And then he's got a lot of digestion issues. And so I think his body's like naturally trying to crave stuff that's going to help him. Help him.
It's like when animals eat stones to help them digest.
Yeah, stuff. That's what I think. So like
I'm not calling JJ.
When pregnant women eat pickles because they're searching for something, like they need something.
Right.
And so they're trying different things to get them to like.
Right.
I think it's like that.
Sure. I have no idea. I'm only speculating. It's just, it's not just a, it's connected. We know that it's connected to the stomach.
Yeah.
Autism is definitely.
Definitely.
Connected. So.
The vagus nerve runs all the way down.
The vagus nerve?
Is it the vagus? Am I saying this wrong?
I don't remember a single episode. Is that the vaga nerve? Done, so. Every time I look up, there's like, I would say, folks, half the time I look up articles, I'm like, what about this? This looks really interesting. Kirk's like, we covered that 3 years ago. I'm like, well, I don't know.
Yeah, the vagus nerve, V-A-G-U-S.
Amazing.
Carries signals between your brain, heart, and the digestive system. We've done this a bunch.
You'd be so good in school.
I was very good at school, yeah.
I was terrible. Can't remember a thing.
Well, when I wanted to.
I only can remember stuff that I made up.
What does this mean? Whatever I say it means.
Exactly. Yeah.
I don't think that's how that that works, but
sometimes I learn a lot by by talking.
It's really funny.
Yeah.
Well, Grandma, what do you got this week, bud?
Oh, doctor. Like always, what I'm going to say is come to my show. This is going to come out next week. And I want you to come to my show probably the day after you hear this, on the 27th, at Caveat Theater in New York City, doing my Pete and Me, a non-depressing look at autism and family. If you are in the Texas area, I would love for you to come see my show at The Creek and the Cave in Austin, Texas. I'm doing Pete and Me there as well on the 25th of April. I'm also going to be opening for Nate Bargatze in San Antonio and Austin, Texas, the weekend before that. So, look out for dates, folks. It's going to be fun. I'm going to be in Stir Crazy, a comedy club in Arizona. I'll be doing more of a stand-up set there, but there will be some jokes from my Pete and Me set. That's going to be on May 3rd and 4th. And then I'm going to be coming to Halifax, Canada, doing the Halifax Comedy Fest the following weekend, May 9, 10, and 11. And then most, you know, this is really important, folks. I'm going to be, just found out, I'm going to be doing the Edinburgh Comedy Festival in Edinburgh, Scotland, all of August. I'm going to be at the Gilded Balloon Theater Pete and Me, a non-depressing look at autism and family. Forgot the little thing there. But yes, come see my shows, please. And follow me at Mr. Graham K on Instagram, Graham K Comedy on the Facebook, and you know, YouTube. You know, I'm posting twice a week now on YouTube. I did not go out with my friends last night because I had to edit my YouTube videos.
Boom.
And
he's doing it.
And so follow me on YouTube at Graham K Comedy.
The nerds are winning.
Yeah. I think that's done. That's the longest promo I've ever done.
That was very long.
To be honest, though, I have not been working in 2 months because of my hip surgery. You know? So there's like a lot.
A lot coming up.
Yeah. You got anything? Okay. Thanks for listening.
I'm going up to Canada in June. This summer, I'm going to be in Canada. You can catch me at Absolute Comedy.
Again? You're going to Ottawa again?
Toronto, June 12th to the 16th.
Congrats.
Thanks, bud. Ottawa.
That's a hot club.
And then Ottawa, Absolute Comedy as well, the 19th to the 23rd, that next week. So it's 2 weeks back-to-back in Canada. Summer, I know the weather's too nice to be indoors, but if you're out there and you want to come see your buddy Kirk, I'd love to see you.
June what?
12th to the 16th, and then 19th to the 23rd.
In Ottawa?
I just said these.
June, but you just told me the dates. I don't remember which one is.
First one's Toronto.
Oh.
Toronto.
Because I'm going to be in Ottawa June 12th.
Oh, I'm going to miss you by a week.
I know.
What are you doing?
Pete's 40th birthday. 40th. Yeah. Pete's 40th birthday. Is going to be on the June 12th, but on the 13th and 14th, I'll be at Rumors. I'll be at the Comedy Nest in Montreal. So yes, more promo.
Oh, that was great. I hear great things about the Nest.
It's great.
It's your old buddy Kirk's birthday next week, and I'm having a heck of a time with it. So if you want to do something nice for me, subscribe to my YouTube and Facebook.
It's a big birthday coming up.
50, the big 50. And crazy. I'm having thoughts about the existential thoughts that we all have as we age. I'm having a heck of a time with it. But I'm doing my best. So if you want to do something nice for me, like and share my videos. That's it, guys. Have a great week.
Talk to an old person. Talk to my dad. He'll be like, well, I don't think about it. I'm like, well, that helps. All right. See you guys later.
You can do it.